Okay, we'll move on to the next case. This is Automated Solutions versus Paragon.
May it please the court.
Mr. Kohler?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
And I appear on behalf of Paragon Data Systems, which is urging reversal of an order of the district court on a discovery matter. There is a long and fairly complicated history of the dispute between the two parties in this case.
The Tribune's information relevant to your case?
It's relevant for two reasons. Number one, there's a counterclaim in the case that asserts that Paragon's own version of the subject software, its copyright on that software, has been infringed by the plaintiff, ASC. That's one basis to which it's relevant. It's also relevant to the core defense that Paragon asserts to the claims of the plaintiff, i.e., copyright infringement. This software that forms the subject matter of the plaintiff's complaint was jointly developed by the two parties pursuant to an agreement. That software was then licensed by those parties to the Chicago Tribune, and in that license agreement, there was a provision that said that the rights to the copyright would belong to the three parties, the plaintiff, defendant, and the Chicago Tribune. My point, Your Honor, is that the defendant, Paragon, is claiming that ASC's copyright is invalid, was fraudulently presented to the Copyright Office because it did not disclose any of the rights of the Chicago Tribune in the software.
But what I'm trying to figure out is what information does the Tribune possess that couldn't be obtained directly from Automated?
We don't know what's in their files. We don't know what they may have retained as opposed to what was retained by Automated. We don't know even if the software that's actually being run by the Chicago Tribune is the software for which ASC claims a copyright. We don't know those things. And we can only obtain that information from the Chicago Tribune.
Well, assuming if it's not a copyright, that means it's your copyright? I mean, your clients. What are you getting at?
Well, if we successfully
find something that's yours buried in there, clients.
Unfortunately, it's not as simple as that because the first case that arose between these parties was a state court case in Common Pleas Court in Cuyahoga County of Ohio, and in that case, the trial judge ruled that by reason of some language that was included in a letter. That Paragon had forfeited its ownership rights to the subject software.
It's all theirs.
Giving it all to ASC. That ruling is on appeal. It's been briefed. It's been argued. And we should receive a ruling on it any week now. I don't know whether it's going to be overruled or upheld.
How will that impact us?
Pardon?
How will it impact our decision?
Well, here's what happened. What happened was that after that state court ruling, ASC applied for a copyright on the subject software and obtained a copyright. In its copyright, it did not disclose any putative rights of Paragon, which perhaps it didn't have to do because of the decision that was on appeal. But more importantly, it didn't disclose any rights that the Chicago Tribune may have had. If we're successful in setting aside the copyright, whether or not it gives ownership back to Paragon, we've established a defense to the copyright infringement claim that ASC has asserted against my client, Paragon. So that's one reason why the discovery for the Chicago Tribune is clearly relevant. We're entitled to pursue our defense as to whether or not there are agreements, documents, or circumstances between ASC and the Chicago Tribune which support our defense.
Isn't the issue whether you independently developed the software, and can't that be determined by examining Automated's publicly available federally registered code?
There is no claim that we independently developed the software that's copyrighted by ASC. It was jointly developed by ASC and Paragon.
Your hope is you'll find something that shows the Chicago Tribune is having an interest or at least perhaps the ownership, therefore Automated doesn't have any claim against you because it's Chicago Tribune's on infringement. Isn't that what you're angling at?
Well, that's very close. What we're claiming is that when you make a copyright application, you have to show who all the people who are entitled to copyright, right. And you have to show who the authors are. And we have one claim of ours, which isn't involved in this appeal directly, is that they didn't disclose all the authors. But another part of our claim as to why their copyright's invalid is that they didn't disclose the joint rights of the Chicago Tribune to the copyright. Copyrights can be owned by more than one person. And the agreement that licensed the software to the Chicago Tribune said that the copyright would be owned by ASC, Paragon, and the Chicago Tribune jointly. I would certainly think that we would be entitled to discover transactional documents and other documents exchanged between Paragon or exchanged between ASC and the Chicago Tribune. It's clearly relevant to the claims, very clearly relevant to the claims. Furthermore, there is no requirement under any rule of discovery that you are limited to asking for documents from the opposing party. There's no such requirement. You're not required to trust the disclosure of the other party. You're permitted to go out and test whether or not an opposing party has made a full disclosure of documents. We wish to do that. Notably, the Chicago Tribune is not objecting to this discovery. There's no objection by the Chicago Tribune. There is no claim that this is harassing to the Chicago Tribune, that it's overburdensome upon the Chicago Tribune. It's only ASC that's complaining about this discovery request. Now, I'm not sure they even have standing under these circumstances to raise that. What they argue is that what we're seeking is proprietary to them. And it can't be in the sense that they urge it. If the software that the Chicago Tribune is running is the software that ASC has a copyright over, then that software is on deposit with the Copyright Office, is publicly available, and we've already got a copy of it. If it's not the software that was copyrighted, and we don't know, but let's assume for the sake of argument that the software that the Tribune is running is not the software that was copyrighted, then there's absolutely nothing in the record before this court or before the district court that would establish any proprietary claim of ASC to that software. There were no affidavits put in. There was no evidence put before the district court to support their claim that this is proprietary. It was argument only with a copy of a copyright attached to their motion. Did you have a question, Your Honor?
Not for you.
We think it's a clearly permissible discovery. The party from whom the discovery is sought is not complaining about it, is not complaining that it's burdensome, that it will overly tax them in any way. I can see no reason why, particularly based upon the absolute void in the record of any evidence by Paragon, that this will injure anyone. So we urge the court to reverse. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Carson.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Drew Carson. I represent the appellee in this case, Automated Solutions Corporation.
I do have a question for you, and it's this.
Sure, Your Honor.
I, for one, do not see how we can review this appeal absent some explanation from the district court as to its reasoning. I couldn't find any reasoning.
Well, I think the abuse of discretion standard, Your Honor, inquires as to whether there is a factual record upon which the decision could be rationally based, and that factual record included the claims of both parties and the prior state court orders.
Yeah,
and
in direct
answer to your question, Your Honor, if I may just
correctly.
I really have to say something up front. I mean, no disrespect to the court or to Mr. Kohler, but we all should be a little bit offended because Mr. Kohler answered your relevancy question initially by saying it's relevant to their copyright claims. Their original counterclaims did not have a copyright infringement claim. Those claims were withdrawn after they were challenged by a 12B6 motion. The district court had before it only their original counterclaims, which had two factual predicates. And those factual predicates were that their newspaper delivery management system was independently developed and Automated has falsely communicated to the marketplace that Paragon's product is a copy or unauthorized derivative of their product. Mr. Kohler has stood before this court and told you that you now have to judge relevancy by their amended counterclaims, which are also subject to a pending 12b6 motion, and that's not the record before you.
See, here's my problem, and I really tried reading the briefs with a very open mind. I just don't see how to review Judge Bucklow's decision when it consists merely of the legal conclusion without a factual or legal basis for that conclusion. In other words, I mean, essentially, we've been put in the position of reviewing the record for ourselves and deciding the issue in the first instance.
Your Honor?
Yeah.
I respectfully disagree. And because what was the thrust of our argument was relevancy. What the district court had before it was our copyright infringement claim and other state law claims and Paragon's counterclaim. They had a potpourri of state law counterclaims that they asserted based on two factual predicates, which I've already articulated. So the district court judge was faced with the decision of, is this overbroad subpoena to the Chicago Tribune that's asking for any copyrighted software that may be in their possession, but also derivative works of Automated that have no relevance to any of the claims, are relevant to either Automated's copyright infringement claim or Paragon's counterclaims that assert independent development and false communications to the marketplace that Automated, that their Paragon's product is an unauthorized derivative.
See.
And clearly, Your Honor, and just to answer your question,
sure,
Judge Bucklow determined that it wasn't relevant because the only relevant software that relates to either Automated's claims or Paragon's counterclaims on the record before you was the copyrighted software which was available from Automated and also publicly available.
Another problem is that your brief doesn't respond to Paragon's standing argument. I mean, do you concede that you lack standing to seek the relief on behalf of the Tribune? And if you don't, I mean, what's the basis for the standing? And was that issue presented to Judge Bucklow?
It was in the, I apologize, but it wasn't in the Court of Appeals brief, but in the brief below, we addressed the standing, and the standing was that it implicated property that was proprietary to Automated. Another misrepresentation by Mr. Kohler is he said that he answered your question by saying it's now relevant, it's relevant to our copyright claim because we committed a fraud on the Copyright Office by not including the Chicago Tribune as an author of the software. I mean, that's it's an absolute fabrication. The license agreement with the Tribune gave the Chicago Tribune no ownership rights, no copyrights. They gave joint ownership rights to Automated and Paragon until they were divested by the state court decision. So, respectfully, again, Your Honor, that was a misrepresentation to this court.
What should we make that the Tribune has no objection to it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not in the record before you, but they simply, as a customer of Automated, we communicated to them that
we gets back to Judge Rovner's comment that there's no. We don't have anything that came up except that two line from Judge Bucklow.
The Tribune
questions we're asking you, now you have to go outside the record to answer.
I disagree, Your Honor. But in answer to your direct question, the Tribune's objection was not required as long as Automated had standing to move for the protective order, and they clearly had standing because of the proprietary, because they had a proprietary interest in the product that was subject to the subpoena. You need not go beyond the record that's before you because relevancy, first of all, you're under an abuse of discretion standard. Relevancy is judged by whether or not there were facts on the record upon which the decision could have been rationally based. That's your only determination. And they determine.
Don't we need a factual or legal basis for that determination?
Correct, Your Honor, and you do. You can judge relevancy by the claims that were before the court. And respectfully, Your Honor, the simple decision is what's relevant to Automated's claim that their copyrights were infringed upon and Paragon's counterclaim that NOAA was independently developed, and what you're telling the marketplace is a lie. The relevant software to be examined is the copyrighted software. They go so far as to say that the derivative works in the Tribune's possession are relevant to this case in order that we can determine how derivative works may be derived from the copyrighted case. Well, that's what got us here in the first place, because we allege that they stole the original copyrighted software. They also told you, Mr. Kohler also told you, which is that he wants to, it's relevant because, actually, I don't understand this, but he has to determine that what the Tribune is using is the copyrighted software. Why do they have to determine that? What if the Tribune, whether or not the Tribune is using the copyrighted software, it's otherwise available to them. But I think this court's concern is, do they have a sufficient record? I think they do have a sufficient record, because relevancy is typically judged on the claims that are presently before the court. And it was not their amended counterclaim. And with respect to the state court orders that divested them of ownership of the software, they specifically moved for a stay of that order, and it was denied.
So what will the... Gee, I hope you're going to let us know what the state court does, but...
I'll personally advise you, Your Honor. I think I understand your question. Will that have an effect on this case? It, in this sense, not in your determination as to whether the subpoena to the Tribune sought relevant information or information reasonably calculated to lead to the discovery of admissible evidence, but it certainly will have an effect on Automated's copyright infringement claim if the state court overturns the trial court and judges that Paragon has copyrights or ownership rights to some version of the software. So it will have an effect on the substantive claim, but not on the discovery issue that's before Your Honor.
Right. So why would we care?
You shouldn't.
Okay. One last thing to worry about.
And if I may, you know, I think that you're struggling with the record before the trial court. I wish Judge Buckler had written the basis for her decision. I think that the only basis for your overturning her decision is an abuse of discretion standard. It was clearly within her discretion. It was not based upon...
But there's a middle ground.
Remand.
For
giving
to tell
a reason.
Us. Supply the basis for her determination.
But you may assume, since we asserted relevancy grounds, that those were the grounds. So then the determination is there a factual record upon which that could rationally be based? Yes. Is it clearly based on erroneous factual findings? No. No basis to determine that. Is it due to a erroneous conclusion of law? Absolutely not. Rule 26C says relevant or reasonably calculated. There's no reasonable calculation. This was done to harass an Automated customer that was formerly a customer of Paragon, and there's no longer a customer of Paragon. And just on a practical basis, their subpoena very closely followed. The only customer that they've sold their software product to is a Cleveland Plain Dealer. We appropriately subpoenaed the Plain Dealer for that product because that's obviously relevant to our copyright claim. A week later, they issue a subpoena on the Chicago Tribune, which, Your Honors, I respectfully submit was for transparent reasons. Thank you for your time.
Okay, Mr. Kohler. At 2 minutes.
Thank you. Not only is there no reasoning or explanation for this order, but quite frankly, there isn't a record. There isn't a record of anything. In the past week, when I set about to prepare for this argument, one of the first things I did was to try to figure out what's properly in the record. Well, there is no evidence. There was no evidence taken by the district court at all. So there isn't any evidence, per se. Was anything submitted to the district court by affidavit? No. Not one single affidavit. And I admit that that's a problem for us as well as it is for the other side. But the plain fact of the matter is that we've got a situation here where there's no explanation, no reasoning, and no record to support a decision either way.
What do we have on the record on appeal?
What we have on the record on appeal are the arguments in the briefs.
That's it.
I would submit that within the cognizable standard for discovery, which we all learned in our first year in law school, no one ever said to us that you can't do discovery unless you've got a factual allegation to that effect in your pleadings. We also learned in civil procedure that we have notice pleadings. So it's sufficient for us to say in our defense that there is an invalid copyright. We do not need to allege every fact that we might offer at trial to prove that. We don't need to allege every fact in our answer and counterclaim for which we might want to do discovery. I have never seen a case that supports the position that Mr. Carson took here today, and I would submit that it's not the law and has never been the law and should not be the law.
Should we care about the Ohio decision?
Yes, because if the Ohio decision is reversed, then Paragon has all the same proprietary rights to this software that ASC claims. If you will recall, the basis for which ASC objected to the subpoena was that we were seeking things and documents that were proprietary to them. That was their first basis. And then they said there was no nexus at all to the litigation. Well, obviously, what we were looking for was the subject matter of the litigation, so to say there's no nexus is a stretch. But certainly a decision by the Court of Appeals of the 8th Appellate District in Ohio would change the entire complexity of this case. I see I'm out of time. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. We're done. What? Yeah, well, you can tell me what's in the record. What's in the record?
What's in the record?
Before us, it's here.
Counterclaims in the state court order.
On appeal.
Yes, and both of the district. No, that record was made in the district court.
Yeah.
And it's cited to in our brief. They don't even cite to a record in their brief.
Okay.
In answer to your question, Your Honor, about the state court decision, respectfully, you must respect that decision. Absent a stay, you must respect that decision unless overturned.
Okay. Case be taken under advisement. Thanks to both counsel.